Morning, church. A little bit of a different view from down here. It looks a little different. Nonetheless, all the same. First, wanted to thank everyone for yesterday. I know yesterday was a pretty good event. Outside, everybody showing up for the landscaping, landscape beautification work. A lot of the trimming and weeding and mulching and everything. So that's pretty much a good event every year, but we had a nice turnout for it yesterday. I appreciate everybody chipping in and doing what they could for that particular event. It looks gorgeous this morning. I went home actually started getting into some landscape work myself, cutting the grass and whatnot after all the rain and everything that we've had over these past several weeks. But getting into the I appreciate Josh and Mick yesterday with the weed whackers jumping in and tearing up and knocking down all of the high grass over there in the little pond or whatever that had receded. But as we got into the middle, obviously it was a lot more saturated than anticipated. Before I left the house, my wife and I, we had a prior engagement, so we came in a little bit later. And I packed my 3/4 height work boots because I knew getting into the mulch, it would be a little dirty and things like that. So I threw those in the back of the truck. So when we got here, and then we went into the middle of the pond over there, next thing I know, the water is above my ankle. And I'm starting to sink in a little bit. At that point, it was just so deep. It was just all in. At that point, it was no turning back. So I got in. So you can just imagine how filthy my feet were by the time I got home. But if you're wondering about the inspiration for this particular message today, it did not come from my feet being filthy or anything to that degree yesterday. But once again, thank everyone for coming out yesterday. I want to spend a little time this morning talking about servant leadership. And I want to mention specifically about ways that we can make application and apply servant leadership to our lives. As you leave your Bibles open back at John 13:4-5, we're going to spend all of our time mostly in this particular chapter. So starting in verse 4, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel, which he was girded. Most of us are familiar with these verses of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. In the ancient world, the washing of the feet was not a quick task, right? It was something that you had to be ready for and be prepared for. And it was not by any means any type of a glamorous task, to say the least. And keeping in mind also, too, that people back then walked around on dirt roads, right? Dirt roads with sandals. So you can imagine wearing sandals on a dirt road, your feet are going to get pretty dirty. And in most cases, people cleaned their own feet. But sometimes in order to show a sense of hospitality and honor, someone else would do it. The foot washer would sit or kneel below the person that is having their feet washed. In the prior verse, Jesus changes clothes. It mentions he changed his clothes in order to take on such a humble task. The fact that you have to kneel or be lower than someone else when you're in that sense of humility to be able to wash someone else's feet places a different perspective on things because you're kneeling below that person and you're more or less serving them, right, and performing this service for them. John 13 verses 6 through 17 will read as follows. John 13, verses 6 through 17. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew he would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. When Jesus began to wash the feet of his disciples, he acknowledged that they would not understand it, as we read in verse 7. Despite the assurance that the understanding would come later, Peter stubbornly refused to allow his master to act like a servant, as we read in verse 8. In response, Jesus gave an ultimatum. Let me do this or else have nothing to do with me at all. Peter's response is an appeal for Jesus to not only wash his feet, but his hands and his head as well. Peter seems to understand that this foot washing has a spiritual meaning. So once Peter understood that, he wanted to go all in. So he said, hey, not only my feet, but my hands and my head too. Whatever benefit Jesus is imparting, he wants as much as possible to do with it. The hands is often symbolic of work or an effort. The head is the center of one's thinking. If Jesus is offering some type of divine cleansing, Peter sincerely wants to apply his behavior and to his thoughts. Servant leadership was at its finest on display here by himself, our creator. There's no better way to have people to be a part of your team if you place their needs before your own. In verse 17, it's stated, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. How often do we put servant leadership into practice? How often should we be putting servant leadership into practice? Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So in order to receive his blessings, it's in our best efforts to make sure that we're putting it into practice. In verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What better example can we have except the Lord himself washing someone's feet? What better example of compassion, humility, and servant leadership can we witness? If Jesus can do it, we can do the same. We can do the same for each other. We can do the same for our neighbors. Jesus didn't just dribble a couple of specks of water on the feet. It says he washed their feet. And keep in mind, we're talking about the feet of those that walked around back in ancient times. As previously mentioned, dirt roads, manure from the donkeys and things that were walking around as well. So feet were pretty dirty. And again, wearing sandals, a lot of that dirt probably got in between the toes, on the bottom of the feet, on top of the feet, so on and so forth. But he washed their feet. So it was something extensive that he endured when he were washing the feet. Today, if you've been to a beach, right? If you walked on a beach and all the grains of sand that gets in between your toes, especially if you go and you get in the water and then you come out and you're walking through the sand, if you don't have on those water shoes or something, or even if you have on some sandals, your feet, that sand clings to your feet. right? And your feet are filthy and you're trying to walk off the beach and now you want to go right off the beach and you want to go shopping and things like that. But your feet are filthy. But in today's society, when you get off of the beach and whatnot, what do you see? They have those showers and the little foot washing stations where you can stick your feet up underneath them before you put them back into your shoes or before you put your sandals on. I'm yet to this day to see, to walk off of a beach where I see someone offering to wash someone's feet. But I guarantee you, if I ever came across it, they would probably be trying to charge some type of a fee to wash somebody's feet while they were coming off the beach. Servant leadership is best defined by Jesus himself. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, as read in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. In the Christian realm, all leadership should be servant leadership. A common misconception about those who want to exercise leadership, that role specifically being above others in a leader capacity, is that it comes with glory, power, and a position of honor. In fact, it is such a mistaken belief was an occasion for Jesus' words in the above passage. James and John had just asked Jesus to place them at his side when he assumed the throne in the kingdom that was to come. In Mark chapter 10, verse 37, they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in glory." The other disciples, after hearing that and witnessing it, they were displeased at the arrogance of the request of James and John, as read in Mark 10:41. But Jesus responds to the disciples. Verse 43, "But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." Jesus modeled the true servant style of leadership. He bent down and he washed feet, teaching them the true measure of leading by first serving others. In the church today, we have many celebrities, but very few servants. There are many who want to exercise authority, as read in Matthew 20, verse 25, but there are few that take the towel and wash the feet. Paul reminds us that our attitude is to be Christ-like, and we consider ourselves to be better than others. We should not do nothing out of vanity, or selfishness. Rather, we look out for the interest of others. As read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, reads as follows, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." In today's world, there's a lot of selfishness and the sense of every man for himself type of mentality. As we continue reading in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Christ came to earth in a humble human form, not as a king, but as a servant to serve others. Every Christian is a servant. The focal point of servant leadership within the church is to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This means with Christ, being the head of the church, the entire church body is served in the act of providing leadership. It's not just the church leaders who become aware of their place at the foot of the cross, but to those within the body of Christ. We all mutually submit ourselves to Jesus as he was in submission to his Father. From a biblical perspective, servant leadership promotes mutual respect and love for one another. A servant leader seeks to invest himself in the lives of people so that as a whole, the church community is challenged to grow and to be more Christ-like. This is demonstrated in the leader's willingness to give himself to meet the needs, but not necessarily the wants of his people. Like a parent, a true servant leader knows the difference between the needs of spiritual children and the selfish wants and the desires. The bottom line of the application of servant leadership is that we don't emulate the examples of the world. Our example is Jesus, who came as a servant. Therefore, our mission is to serve one another and to give of ourselves. Christ came to give his life. We are to give our lives not only in service to him, but to our fellow man, including those in the church and those outside of it. As read in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." According to the Bible, every Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift to give in service to the body of Christ. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 reads as follows. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So an important step in determining how to best serve in the church is for us to discover what spiritual gifts are. We don't have to know what our spiritual gift is before we get involved with the church. We oftentimes discover what our gifts are in the process of serving. The spiritual gifts are listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11. Christians ought to use their spiritual gifts because serving God is a 24-hour proposition, not only a job just reserved for Sundays. All Christians everywhere should be serving God in their local churches and looking for opportunities to serve outside the walls of the church building, as referenced in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. It may be difficult to discover which spiritual gift God has bestowed upon us, but it's better to serve somewhere than nowhere, as referenced in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Often the discovery of gifts become clearer in the process of doing them. As we serve in various jobs, we learn what we are good at and what we have a heart and a desire to do. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, reads as follows, "As for you, my son Solomon, know that God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of your thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." There are always more needs than there are willing workers to complete these needs. This was true in Christ's day and is still true today. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's never a problem to find a need that needs taken care of in the church. From evangelizing the community to cleaning the bathrooms of the church, there's always plenty of work to be done. It's good to inquire of the church leaders regarding the needs of the church. Speak to one of the brothers about what jobs are open and what you may be suited for or not suited for. Here are a few examples of some of the services that can be provided within the congregation. Sunday school and Bible school teachers. We need people to help serve and provide directions for others. Children and youth leaders for the young ones in the congregation. Someone to guide them and to help them understand the Bible at that particular level. Secretaries, helping assist with the printing of the bulletins and handouts and things like that. Cleaners for the building, right? Signing up to clean, taking care of the monthly duties and cleaning within the church. Landscapers, obviously from yesterday's efforts and previous years as well, to take care of the outside, the property grounds. Transportation workers to be able to pick up people that may not have the ability or the transportation to be able to make it to service. Outreach workers working at the state fair, working at the Harlem Township Festival that we have each year. Greeters, as we greet people coming into the church daily, right? For every service. Song leaders, getting up here. I say getting up here like I've done it before, which I have not. But standing before and holding a tune and holding a note and being able to lead the congregation to be able to sing up these beautiful sounds to God's ears is a task that I don't think I could do it in harmony as well as our current song leaders do. I appreciate your efforts, Chauncey, Mick, Josh, standing up there doing all of that. But also in preparation for the Lord's Supper, preparing everything before it's placed out here on the Lord's table. The audio and the video technicians, we take for granted sometimes that everybody can hear us, but the processing of making sure that it's amplified, to making sure that everything is uploaded on the websites, to make sure that those that don't feel comfortable at this point coming inside the church, but maybe still be listening out in the parking lot, but having that ability and that capability to be able to put all of those things together so that God's word can continue to be sent out. Treasurers and accountants, kitchen workers, those that are cleaning, those that are cooking, those that are providing all of those miscellaneous tasks, nursery workers, taking care of the little ones, are all part of serving within the church. Every member of the church should be serving in some way, shape, or form. Every servant of the Lord should remember that it's more than just serving others. It's loving them as well. Serve one another humbly in love, as the word tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Serving the church can take on many different forms. Maybe you're babysitting for a young spiritual couple so they can have an opportunity to go out. Preparing a meal for a family or a family member that is sick or someone that can't make it to church. Visiting those that are grieving, that have just lost someone special in their lives. Visiting the sick and the elderly. Or just picking up the phone and calling someone and saying, hey, just calling to check on you to see how you're doing. As we go about serving God and others, let us do so with the spirit of humility and brotherly love. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it reads, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Servant leadership is a service that you can provide to anyone. It helps to foster relationships with everybody. Our Creator told us that we are blessed if we do these things. If you have a need to serve in the church capacity, don't be shy. Speak to one of the brothers, and we can make sure that that happens. Jesus washed the dirtiest parts of humans when he washed their feet back in ancient times. Jesus cleansed the best part of our lives. Jesus not only sacrificed his life for us, but he washed away all of our sins by dying on the cross so that we might have eternal life. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you, as read in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice and died so that we may have eternal life. So in closing, serving others may come natural to you. Putting the needs of others before your own may come natural to you. Others may have to work on it. This should be our daily focus and our effort as we contend to be Christ-like in our efforts. Placing the needs of others before your own and servant leadership is just not a part of who you are. But we can pray for you. We can help you. The church can help guide your path. So maybe you're here this morning and servant leadership is not something that you're great at and you need the help of the church. Maybe you're here this morning and you need the prayers of the church and to ask for forgiveness. If you feel the need to come forward, then please do so at this time while we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.